For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter by chapter, verse by verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, A Yoke of Bondage, as we pick up in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Shall we turn now to Galatians chapter 5? The whole concept is, how do I establish a righteous standing before God? Can I be righteous by keeping the law? Or am I righteous by my simple faith in Jesus Christ? Now, Paul taught righteousness through faith. There followed Paul teachers, Judaizers, who brought another gospel, which was not really a gospel. For they were saying that it was necessary to be circumcised and to keep the law of Moses in order to be righteous before God, to be saved. And so Paul is standing against this teaching in his letter to the Galatians. And in chapter 5, he said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, when this same issue had arisen in the church in Antioch, when certain of the brethren came down from Jerusalem and were hassling the Gentile saints in Antioch and said, "You can't be saved unless you are circumcised and keep the law of Moses," Paul and Barnabas and others from Antioch took these brothers right back to Jerusalem, because they came under the pretense of, "We have the authority of the Jerusalem church to declare these things." So they went right up to settle the issue, and the church had one of the first church councils gathered to settle a dispute, a problem within the church. And in the 15th chapter of Acts, we read how that Peter stood up and told the brethren how that the Lord had called him to go to the Gentiles, to the house of Cornelius, and how the Holy Spirit had come upon those of the house of Cornelius who had known nothing really of obedience to the law. And Peter said, "I suggest that we not place a yoke of bondage on them which neither we nor our fathers were able to bear." So Peter uses this same phrase to describe the law as a yoke of bondage. He said, "We haven't been able to keep the law. Why should we put them under it?" And so Paul is picking up now the same phrase. No doubt he heard Peter use it there in Acts 15. And he said, "Stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has set you free." Now, let us not believe or think that this liberty that we have is the liberty to do anything we might want to do in the flesh. That is not the liberty that we have as Christians. The liberty that we have is not to do the things of the flesh. Thank God Jesus Christ has set me free from my bondage to my flesh. I once was in horrible bondage to my flesh. But now I have liberty in Christ Jesus, where I don't have to follow after the flesh anymore. So stand fast in that liberty wherein Christ has made you free. He has set you free from the power of the flesh. Don't be entangled again with rules, regulations, a a yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you are circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. That is, if you are circumcised ritually for the purpose of having a righteous standing before God. If that is the purpose, you're thinking that it's going to make you righteous before God. You think it's going to make you acceptable before God. Paul said, Christ will profit you nothing if that's your mental attitude towards your circumcision. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. In other words, if you're going to take this as an act of righteousness to make you righteous before God as being a part of the law, then it will be necessary for you to keep the entire law in order to be righteous before God. For if a man keeps the whole law, yet he offends in one point, he is guilty of all. So cursed is the man that continues not in the whole law to do that which is written therein. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you who are justified or seeking to be justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Very powerful words for those who would seek justification through the law, through rules, through keeping rules, through keeping ordinances. If you're looking to that as a righteous standing before God, then you are not experiencing the grace of God in your life. Now, the whole idea is to be righteous before God in order that I might have fellowship with God. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? How can I really fellowship with God if I'm unrighteous? So I must be righteous in order to have fellowship with God. Now, there are two ways that I can be righteous. I can say, well, these are the rules of righteous living. You've got to do this and this and this and this and this, and you can't do this and this and this and this and this. And I can set up these rules, and I can get out my little gold stars. And at the end of each day, I can paste my gold stars on those that I've kept. But if I have a whole page of gold stars, but yet there's one little point over here where I blew it and I can't put a gold star, then I'm unrighteous. I violated. If you keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, you're guilty of all. Now, the other way to be righteous is through faith in Jesus Christ, receiving that grace of God through him, where God accounts me, as he did Abraham, righteous because I believe. Now, that righteousness depends upon the work of Jesus Christ as my sacrifice, as my substitute. It is predicated upon the work of God. Therefore, that righteousness is perfect. It will stand. And it is given to me through my faith in Jesus Christ. That's what God accounts, the righteousness of Christ accounted to my account through my faith in Jesus Christ. Now, because I can't keep the first, I've opted for the second. Because I can't and haven't kept the whole law, I'm thankful that God accounts me righteous and I can have fellowship with the righteous God because of Jesus Christ and my faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're trying to be justified before God or being made righteous before God by the keeping of the law, then Christ is of no effect to you. You can't be both. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. That's the position where we stand. By the Spirit of God, we're waiting for that hope of righteousness through faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. So I think Paul could also have included here baptism or no baptism as far as the physical immersion in water. He's talking about rituals and the power of rituals to make you righteous before God, and the issue is they can't. What makes you righteous before God is your faith, which works in love within your heart and life. Now, it is interesting to me how that those who opt for rules, those who opt for laws, those who want to lay down the laws upon the people, or those who want to live under the laws that are laid down upon them, always seem to be striving. We have those that come around here. They're wanting to strive. They're wanting to argue. They're wanting to prove their points. How that baptism is essential for salvation. And they want to get on our case because we don't run down every night and baptize people the moment they're saved. Because we wait to have our baptisms till the water gets warmer. It's because baptism doesn't save. It's faith in Jesus Christ that saves. It's the operation of God's Spirit within our heart that works through love. Not contention, not striving, but it works through love. And any kind of a relationship with God that causes me to strive with my brother, causes me to become contentious, is really something that I'm not interested in. Causes me to become judgmental. It's faith which works by love. Now Paul said, you did run well. Again, you remember he said, you did start well. What did hinder you? You did run well, having begun in the Spirit. You did all right in the beginning. But who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. In other words, you did not get this from God. I really like to say that to the Jehovah Witnesses that come to my door. This persuasion didn't come from him who called you. You couldn't believe the things that Jehovah Witnesses believed unless you read their screwy attitudes and ideas in their books. I mean, you never get it from reading the Bible and waiting upon God. Your mind has to be bent in that direction through their writings. And so with the Mormons. You never come to believe in what the Mormons believe through reading the Bible. It comes by reading the Book of Mormon. This persuasion, these ideas that you have, they don't really come from God, from the one who called you. They are ideas that have been planted in your mind by men. Now, a lot of times when people come to me with some weird concept, I'll say, where in the world did you get that idea? And sometimes they'll lie to me. And they say, oh, well, I was just waiting upon the Lord and reading the scriptures, and the Lord showed this to me. I said, that's a lie. Here, I'll show it to you in this book. Have you been reading this book? Well, yeah, I read that book, but, you know, God showed it to me. No, this persuasion doesn't come from him who called you. You weren't persuaded to be circumcised because God was speaking to your heart and convicting you of this. These concepts, these heresies that develop within the church, are passed on by men. They don't come to man from God. And the Jehovah Witness is just the Arian heresy of the early church. The prosperity doctrines is the Gnostic heresy of the early church. They're just warmed over, put in a new coat, and declared by a fresh voice. Or sometimes the voices aren't so fresh. But they're things, concepts that, and you'll find that these people espousing them are plagiarizing from other people who have espoused them, and it goes back and back and back, but not from God. That is why I encourage you just to read the Bible. I am not at all worried about anything you will come to believe by just simply reading your Bible. I don't think you need anything more than the Bible to really know the truth of God. And I encourage you to just read your Bible. Now, why is it that Jehovah's Witness can't tell you that? Because you'll never come to their beliefs just by reading the Bible. Why can't the Mormons tell you that? Because you'll never come to their beliefs by just reading the Bible. So the minute I start peddling books and saying, now to really understand the Bible, you better read my books. Because you'll just, you know, read the Bible, you'll be in darkness. It's just, you know, too difficult. Just let our books explain for you. This persuasion didn't come from God. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You open the door for a little error, and it will soon magnify. Because you see, as you have opened the door for this error, then as you are challenged on the flaws of the error, you're going to have to develop further doctrines to cover, or further concepts to cover, and pretty soon you're going to be way out in left field. There is a group called Jesus Only, and they believe that Jesus is the Father, He is the Son, He is the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus Only. Unitarians. And they are quite zealous in their beliefs, very fervent in the proclamations of their beliefs. And I had some who were determined that they were going to convert me to their way of thinking. And I would listen to them and listen to them and listen to them. I don't really make a practice of arguing scriptures. And so I would listen to these fellows, and I listened, you know, and just said, well, yeah, that's what the scripture says, you know, when they would quote scriptures. Well, they thought that they had me convinced to their way of thinking. And so they started telling people, well, Chuck believes this. And so then I had to go out to them and say, hey, you haven't convinced me of the truth of what you're declaring. I don't believe that. And then they started to rail on me and prophesy my death and things of this nature. And so I said, all right, tell me. When Jesus was baptized, who spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased? Is he a ventriloquist? When in the garden, or when on the cross, Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who was he crying to? Oh, well, he laid down his divinity before he died. I said, oh, you see, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now you're, you know, chopping Jesus up and said, well, he is God here, but for a while he wasn't God, and the universe was without God for a little bit here or whatever. And, you know, I mean, you're having now, though, you've taken a position. Jesus is the only one. Now you've got to defend it against the challenges. And so you've got to start making up or taking positions that are thoroughly unscriptural in order to defend your position. And a little leaven soon leavens the whole lump. Even though it might be a minor departure from the truth, be careful. Try and stay right on course. If When I got on board a 747 at LAX heading for Honolulu, the captain would say, "Now, folks, we're having a little problem here with our navigation instrument. We're about 1 degree off, but we hope to correct this in flight or something." I'd say, "Open the doors and let me off." If your navigational instruments are 1 degree off and you take your heading and you start for Hawaii, by the time you've gone that distance, you'll miss Hawaii by 240 miles. Oh, by the time you get to Santa Barbara, you won't even notice anything. You know, you can look down and see the Channel Islands. You can see the Santa Rosa and San Miguel and San Nicolas Islands, and you say, hey, all right, you know, we're right on course, 1 degree, and you've only gone 100 miles. You won't even notice. But you continue 1 degree off on out over the Pacific, and you can miss your destination completely. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, Paul said, "I have confidence in you through the Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded." Now, Paul is now saying, who did hinder you, you know, in this teaching and all? But I have confidence in you that you're not going to be persuaded by this, that you're not going to be otherwise minded. "But he who troubles you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased." Now, evidently, these people were saying, "Well, Paul was circumcised, and he's preaching circumcision. You ought to be circumcised, you know." And Paul said, "Hey, wait a minute, I'm not. If I preach circumcision, then why would they keep persecuting me?"
Life can hit hard, and sometimes you just need answers. Real answers. The kind that doesn't fade when circumstances change. That's why the Biblical Counseling Book is a powerful resource covering over 200 real-life topics we all face. Whether you're a longtime believer or just searching for truth, this book meets you right where you are. Pastor Chuck Smith takes you through life's toughest questions with clear, compassionate insight. Each topic is organized alphabetically, easy to find, easy to understand, and includes Pastor Chuck's personal commentary, plus practical illustrations to help you discover what God says about your situation. When you're confused, discouraged, or when man's advice just isn't enough, turn to the one who already knows your heart. Turn to God's word, because the counsel you need has already been given. Order Biblical Counseling today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. Biblical Counseling, real answers, real hope, right from God's word. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless you and keep you steadfast in the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. And may you experience each day more of His love, more of His Spirit working in your life as you yield yourself to God. May you know that power through the Holy Spirit. And may God thus enable you to do His work, and may your life be blessed as you serve the Lord in the opportunities that He gives to you this week. Maybe they seem like very small things, but God help you to be faithful in the little things and not to despise the days of small things. For if you are faithful in the little things, then God will place more responsibility upon you. But don't force it. Just flow with the Spirit and have a beautiful week in Jesus.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Galatians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning reading Galatians 5.
Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.